Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones, finally, brethren, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and we urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body, in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Father God, we just come before you right now, and we just lift up this passage of Scripture, which we know is already anointed to break yoke, Father, to break some things off our life. It's anointed to set us free. It's anointed to change us. So, Father, we know your word is anointed. Now I ask you to anoint the word that I speak, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint the ears that will hear, Lord, the words that are spoke. Lord, we thank you for moving in this service already. But, Lord, we do not believe that you're done, Father. We believe that you want to continue. And, Lord, while the heart is broken up, Father, while the heart has been plowed up, God, we ask that you sow the seed of life, God, from the Spirit, from heaven's throne. Let the word of life penetrate our heart that will bring change into our life and change into our world. Father, let the words of my mouth be, Lord, let them be holy and acceptable unto thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Living to please God. We know one thing. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says it's impossible to please God without faith. So the very first thing you need to know is it takes faith to please God. And that faith is to become His and to allow Him to live in your heart. So that's where we would start off today. But the things that I believe that Paul is pouring into this body, the very first thing is he is still coming back to this. I wanted to see you. I want to see you. Satan hindered me from seeing you, but I really want to see you. But he says he prays that the God, the Father, and Jesus Christ would direct his steps. Would direct his steps back to them. Make a way, God, for me to get back to you. You know, God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Here's what I find is living for God. You give your heart to God and you really become pliable in His hands. Your whole heart is just, I just want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. And God takes your heart and your desires and He begins to change your desires to be His desires. And then when your desires become His desires, He says, now I want to give you those desires of your heart because they're in line with my will for your life. So God longs to do that. And I find that He uses some things along the way to do that. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I believe that you need to believe that. So many people, I hear Christians saying all the time, well, I was just lucky. I just happened to be at the right spot at the right time. Nonsense. Nonsense. That's so lack of faith. You're not lucky. You are blessed. You are directed. You are led and ordered by Him. So God leads your steps. Now some of you trip a little bit over that righteous man thing. But 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, He caused Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus Christ. I find that the cross is all about opposites. He became sin so that you could become righteous. He became dead so you could live. Right? The work that he did was with you in mind. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, like Roy prayed. Amen. So there's some ways that God leads us. Psalms 119, 105. We are led by his word. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God leads us by pouring his word into us, so that the things that you used to do, you won't want to do anymore, because you realize that's not God's will for you. And then John chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, we find that we're led by his voice. It says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. You know, sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and they won't follow another shepherd. They tell me that shepherds can come together with a conglomerate of their sheep, and they don't say, hey, keep yours on the right, and I'll keep mine on the left, and you keep yours back in the back pasture. They don't worry about that. They just let all their sheep come together. And it's not like they're branded like we do cows. Who cares? There are 500 sheep out there and five shepherds. And at the end of the day, when they get ready to leave, they just begin to speak. They just begin to call out their name. And their sheep know their shepherd's voice, and they follow them. Sheep are not real intelligent animals, but they do know the voice of their shepherd. God calls us the sheep of his pasture. John 10:10 ought to put all doubt out of your mind. All of you that have said, well, I can't hear his voice. Stop saying that nonsense. Because when you say that, you're saying everything contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God in John 10 says you can hear his voice. Is that getting in? Because I don't want to go on unless that gets in. I've got a feeling some of you are wrestling with that. Some of you are saying, oh, Pastor, you just don't know me. I don't have to know you. I know the Word. The Word is greater than you are. Right? The Word is, you are a particular person made in God's image. I know you're peculiar. We're all peculiar. We're all unique. But God's Word overrides your uniqueness. Don't argue with the Word. Right? His Word said, I can hear His voice. You know what you ought to start saying? I'm so thankful I can hear the voice of my Father. I'm thankful that He leads me not only with His Word, but He leads me through His voice. I'm telling you, when you're standing at a stop sign, or you're on the road and you're just resting there at the red light. I was there one time, and I'm one of these that I watch the other signal. I don't watch my light. I watch the other light. Because when it turns yellow, I'm letting off the gas. I'm ready to roll, man. I don't have a lot of patience. One day I'm sitting at the red light, and I'm watching this other light. And all of a sudden, I hear the voice of God, just that quiet whisper. It says, hold up. And I just paused. The light turned green, and I didn't go anywhere. And all of a sudden, the car ran the red light. Woo! I said, thank you, Jesus. Got a call at midnight one time. Some confusion. My son was at a guy's house. It was project graduation or something like that, a graduation party. I wasn't doing anything bad, but they was out at the lake. I didn't know where they was at. I knew whose house they was. I just didn't know which house. And it was back in the New Concord area, which is extremely confusing. I'm pretty sure they let the cows make the road back there. Just follow the path, you know. And I had to go find him. And I set out at midnight going to find my son, about 30 minutes away. And I said, Jesus, I don't know the way. I know how to get to the beginning, but I don't know where he lives back there. And I just drove. And I thought, you know, I think I should turn here. And I turned here. think I better turn here. I turn there. I made 5 or 6 turns and drove right to the house that my son was at. When I left, I thought, well, I got in here, I can get out. I drove around for a half an hour and that's trying to get out. I said, okay, Lord, show me the way out now. Thought I could do my own thing. I'm telling you, we need to tune our ear to the whisper of heaven. Because God is speaking. God desires to speak to your heart. Don't get stubborn. That's a word from the Lord right there. God loves you. God's crazy about you, actually. And then the last way we're led is by the Spirit of the Lord. In John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. It's that Spirit that lets us hear the Word, that lets us hear the voice, that will lead and guide our life. Guys, you don't have to make one decision on your own. We can trust Him, and He will help us make the hard decisions. I think about young people that are getting ready to get married. And I've asked young people before, have you prayed about that? I'm amazed at how many people will tell me, no, I haven't prayed. Oh, dear Jesus, you're not smart enough to make that decision on your own. Man, you need to pray about that one. Who you're going to marry needs to come before the Lord. Matter of fact, I will tell you, my oldest son and my middle son, my youngest son didn't, but my first two, they came to Treve and I and they said, Dad, we've got our eye on a young lady that we want to ask out. And we just want to see if you and Mom will take the next 30 days and will you pray with us to see if this is the right person to choose to date. Because they wasn't dating just to date. They were dating for marriage. They had it right, folks. In a day in which the world and the church looks a whole lot the same when it comes to dating and marriage. And we ought not look the same in any area of our life. We prayed for a month and all of us come back together and we said, you know what? I think that's the right girl. They prayed. They began to date them and married them. Matt's been married 10 years last week, wasn't it? Thursday of last week, I think so. I'm thankful God leads us. Now, I don't pray over what tomatoes to buy, okay? I don't pray what avocados are you leading me to today, Jesus. I think we can get a little crazy with it. But I believe that God can lead us in every decision of our life. It will just be sensitive to Him. Paul prays the next thing. He says, I pray that your love will increase one towards another and towards all men. In Matthew chapter 22, I believe it is, verse 37, basically a lawyer, scribe, came to Jesus and he said, could you tell us what the two greatest, or what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and mind. And He said, and the second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments hang all the other commandments and the words of the prophets. And Paul tells them, make sure that as you're walking with the Lord that you love each other. I find that some people are difficult to love. You're making me feel pretty lonely. Some people are crusty. Some people don't act like us. They don't have the same values as us. Do you get a bye? Do we get a bye if they don't look like us, don't act like us? They're a little crusty on the outside. Do we get a bye? No. You know what a bye is, right? It means you just get to skip that one. Doesn't really count. No. It counts. We're to love every person as unto the Lord. Matter of fact, John came along and said, you know, it's easy to say we love God whom we cannot see. But if you don't love your neighbor, you don't really love God. Man, it's easy to say, Jesus, I love you. But John, I got trouble with. No, it don't work that way. Because Jesus comes in, He changes our heart. There may be some people that you don't want to spend all your day with, but you still got to love them. And they need to see Christ in you. You know, I preached a funeral one time of a guy that was a motorcycle rider. And he was a friend of mine, and his wife called me and said that his husband died suddenly during the night. He was sleeping on the couch. I jumped in my truck or ran out to his house real quick, and there sat a bottle of fifth of whiskey right there on the coffee table. The old boy drank himself to death. And she said, "Will you preach his funeral?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll be happy to." I preached the funeral, and I saw more leather in the crowd, than definitely more leather than cotton. Bunch of crusty old bike riders. I couldn't preach this guy into heaven. Couldn't say that with good faith. But I could preach about the love and forgiveness of Jesus. And that's what I did. I preached a lot of funerals. But I've never been treated with more respect and honor than them bike riders. They come to me. They were appreciative that I just preached the word to them. They were so loving. I find that we judge people's exterior. Amen. And some of the softest, kindest people that I know can have a rough exterior. But the heart of the man is good, it's kind, it's gentle. I think we just need to push a little bit more, don't you think? Let's not judge the exterior. Let's get to know the heart, the true person. The Bible says that love is patient. Love is kind. You know, sometimes when I read this, I add a few words. I add my wife. Love is patient to my wife. Love is kind to my wife. It doesn't envy, doesn't boast. Love's not proud. It's or rude. Why is it that sometimes we can be the meanest to our people that we love? That's good preaching, Pastor. Treva does not deserve me to be rude or unkind or impatient. She deserves the best of my behavior. It's not self-seeking. It's not just getting my way. Love is not easily angered, even when she doesn't understand. Sometimes we're just on different wavelengths. It frustrates me so bad that she can't see what I'm trying to tell her sometimes. I think there's probably been a time or two in our marriage when she's got upset with me because I couldn't see what she was trying to tell me. But, you know, I really don't think it goes that way that much. But this is not just written to your wife. It's written to every relationship. I just think those that seems like we just lose this sometimes in our marriage. Love doesn't keep a record of wrong. Dear Jesus, that convicts me every time I read it. Seems like my memory is the best at remembering what people have done to me. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Love never fails. The greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13. And he stops and he says, even as I have been towards you. Remember last week I told you that people do what they see? Pastor Vine prayed a prayer. And basically he said, America's in a bad shape. We need to lead the way. We're looking to a party to lead us. I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican, they're both messed up. The healing for America will not come through a political party. It's going to come through the church. Because God always moves through His church. We are to lead the way. But if you can't shake hands and love somebody that looks totally different than you, then you are not leading the way in love. We need to lead the way in love. People will do what they see. When they see us doing great things, they'll be excited about doing good things too. Paul was the example. Then he says, I want to teach you how to live to please God. He said that you would be blameless. Now, I don't know anyone in here that's had a past that's been colorful, that feels blameless. You may not feel blameless because of what you have been. But I want you to know, you are not that person any longer. When you accept Jesus, He makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So don't live your life like who you used to be. You're not colored like that anymore. You're a different creature. So you are blameless, which means without fault, above reproach. We're blameless in holiness until the coming of Jesus Christ, which we'll talk about next week. And he spells it out. And he talks about sanctification, which is moral purity. Being set apart for a divine work. You have been set apart because God wants to do something in your life. So He has called you out of this world. He's saying, come out. Come and be different. Come and be separate, says the Lord. It's the message we don't hear much in the church anymore. I feel like the church says, just blend in. Just blend in. You'll be all right. We'll make it out of here alive. Blend in. God said, no, don't blend in. Come out. Be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch the unclean things. He said, abstain from fornication, which is the word porneus. Anybody want to guess at what word we get from that? Pornography. An acceptable sin in America. It's not acceptable in God's sight. It's not acceptable on your computer. It's not acceptable in magazine. It's not acceptable on your phone. It's not acceptable. All kinds of immoral sexual acts, fornication is just like the cover of all of them. It's adultery. It's premarital sex. It's homosexuality. It's viewing pornography. God has called us out. He says, possess your vessel. This is my vessel. Possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And he says, don't act in lust and don't act in passion. I feel like the Lord sort of separated those two for me because to me they were one and the same. I think sometimes men act like dogs. We just got our nose in the air sniffing for whoever's in heat. Sorry if that's a little brazen for you. Maybe I'm not real tactful sometimes, but I think you can follow me. You really think that's God's best? Come on. We're not to act like that. We're not to undress ladies when we see them in our minds. That's ridiculous. But he says you need to control your lust. Now, lust doesn't just have to be sexual. It could be things. It could be money. It could be power. I don't know what drives you, but you've got to keep it submitted to Him. But you're supposed to possess your vessel not to do those things. And then he says, in passion also. You know what I thought? I thought lust is like a man just going after anybody. But passion is when you fall in love with the right one. Man, it's difficult to keep your relationship holy in those few months and weeks before the wedding day. But God doesn't give you a bye. God still expects you to possess your vessel in honor. You keep the relationship holy. I believe that we need to marry more virgins in the house of God.
Amen.
And I believe for too long we've made excuses and we've just started to look the other way. Is there forgiveness? Absolutely there's forgiveness. God forgives us when we mess up. But that doesn't change the instruction of the Lord. So maybe you've been very promiscuous. But today's a new day and you're hearing the Word of God today. And the Word of God says from this day forward, you possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And then he says this, don't defraud your brother. Now, defraud means to cheat somebody. And so I know there's some versions of this that immediately goes over into financial things. This is not talking about financial. He's still in the mindset of lust and passion. And he's saying, don't defraud your brother. Don't steal from your brother. How do I steal sexually from my brother? Well, if I'm a single guy and I'm dating and having sex with every little girl that I can have sex with, I'm defrauding a man out there one day that could be my brother in the Lord of what? Of his gift. I've just cheated somebody because I took what wasn't mine and I made it mine. There's something so precious about two people that have been pure, that come to a wedding altar and give themselves to each other. It is so uncommon today, but it's precious in God's sight. And he says, don't think that these actions will not be punished. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 19 says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. The Bible says we become one. If you've slept around, if you've been promiscuous, you've connected with so many people. You've got a lot of soul ties out there. You are connected with these people. I don't understand it. You probably don't understand it, but I know the word is true. I don't have to understand it to say God says there's a soul connection when I have sex with somebody. I've brought myself together. Would I do that as a man of God with a prostitute? He says never. And yet we have lived this way. And I think that we need to ask the Lord to put an axe to some soul ties in our past. The man that I know very well, he told me that he has slept with over 500 women in his life. That's messed up. That's messed up. You know, it's funny. God gave us this desire to have sex. God gave us this holy thing that's inside of us to procreate. This is holy. You get it? Sex is not dirty. Sex is clean, it's precious, it's pure in the sight of God. But Satan moves in and he makes it dirty. He defiles something so precious that God has given us as a gift. Let's take it back. Amen. Can we take it back? Amen. You know, I just believe that spiritually, I believe God can make you a virgin again. He can just wipe it out. So that from this day forward, you could go to the wedding, your wedding altar, and you could stand pure in God's sight, in your future husband's sight, because you submit this stuff to the God. Can I go on with this reading? He says, flee sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. You understand in this? Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. When you sin sexually, you're sinning against yourself. There is a price to pay in your own body of these sins. I believe that's why we come up with a lot of sexual diseases. We really need to chase after Him, don't we? There's no perfect people in this room. There's no perfect people. Sometimes preaching a sermon like this is so hard. I'm a pretty compassionate person. I never want to preach condemnation. I know as I preach this sermon, there are people who have done everything that I have preached about. And then there's this little group over here that I want to preach it so hard and so straight and so forward that they determine I will remain pure. But there's the rest of you out there. I don't want you to leave with your head hung. I want you to leave free in Christ. That says, I used to be that way, but God, I'm forgiven for my past. So please hear those words. And I think one of the greatest verses is where he leaves this thing. He said, God did not call us, in verse 7, God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God. You're not rejecting me. If you leave this place and say, I don't care what that pastor says, I'm living my life the way I want to live it. Listen, you're not rejecting me. It's his word. You're rejecting him, not me. But then the last few words, what is it? Six words, who gives you his Holy Spirit. You know, I think he just added that because I think some people, when they read this word, would say, I can't do it. I just can't do that. And he says, maybe you can't, but God has given you his Holy Spirit, which according to Acts 1:8 gives us power. You see, maybe you have a difficult time. See, I think some of you can get up on your high horse because you possess your vessel physically, but your mind is in the gutter. That's just as bad. God wants us pure from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. He wants your thoughts pure. We used to say stuff when someone would say things a little off color in the church. We'd say, get your mind out of the gutter. Now I find that people just live there. Come on. We should have a renewed mind. Lord, renew my eyes. Don't let me even see women like that. I always preach it from this perspective. But I know there's another perspective. I know that half this crowd is women. And women, you've got... There was a day when we could preach to women, to men only. But today is a different day. Satan has done such an incredible job that you are just as viable to fall in this trap as men are today. They say the statistic is 2/3 of men view pornography regularly. That's crazy. But the other one is somewhere between 30 and 50% of women are viewing pornography regularly. That blew my mind. So I'm thinking, Satan, you used to just be after the men, but now you're after the ladies too. So ladies, I just want to tell you, it matters what you fill your mind with, just like it does a man. Isn't that ridiculous that we had to preach this? Your mama should have taught you this. Your daddy should have taught you this. If you raised up and your daddy said, boys will be boys, shame on him. Forgive him for filling your heart with ungodly thoughts. Let me just tell you, boys can be godly. Amen. And they are expected to be. Amen. In God's sight, there really is no difference. He expects the same thing out of women as he does men. Moral purity. Saying, Pastor, please go on. And I'm done. So we come to the conclusion. And I just want to ask you, are you living your life to please God? If I took your life and I said, hey, let's watch so-and-so's life today. This is his secret thoughts over the last week. Let's pass out some popcorn because we're going to watch Joey's life for the last 7 days. Who wants to volunteer to be next week's? Would you like to be next week's? No. Right? I am slipping out of here myself. There are no perfect people. But there are some that are training themselves. We are in the process, holiness is Christ in us. And it's a training so that we take every thought captive. So when a dirty thought hits your mind, whether it's sexual or overeating or shopping too much or whatever it is, when that hits your mind, it's not a sin. It's a temptation. The sin is when you begin to dwell on it. So you have a moment in your heart when these things hit your mind. It's just the fiery darts of the devil. When those things hit your mind, you have a choice every time. What will I do with this thought? It may be the thought of not liking someone. Well, she was just disrespectful to me. I have a choice. I can get mad and get surly and get ugly, or I can love her anyway. Love her anyway. If I'm rude with my wife, even though that's not loving, she has a choice. What's she going to do? If my wife is unkind to me, and it does, it comes back both ways. What am I going to do? We're going to move in forgiveness. We're going to move in love. We're going to take captive that thought and we're going to pull it down and we're going to move together in love. What are we going to do as a body of Christ? We're going to move together in love. You don't have to be in church very long before you're going to find somebody here is going to offend you. And it may be me. Probably will be. I have a gift of offense. I'm gifted in this, folks. What are we going to do? We're going to move in love. We're going to choose to forgive each other. We're going to choose to be godly. Whether you're talking about possessing your vessel sexually, possessing your mind, remaining holy before God. Now see, I come to stuff like this and I think, okay, give an altar call. Who's not guilty? Who's not guilty in this place? We're all guilty. Right? Oh, but the grace of God overcoming, right? So would you just stand with me? And can we just start to pray a prayer today together and just say, God, forgive us. And may this be a new day for each one of us, regardless of where we're starting from. Let this be a new day of purity and holiness. Remember holiness, Christ in us. Isn't that great? Let Him take control of your life. Father God, we just come before You, Lord. And Lord, I know each one of us in some respects of this sermon are guilty. Lord, of containing our thoughts, putting things before our eyes that we shouldn't, possessing our vessel, not being lovely, not being kind, speaking unkind words. God, we're guilty. We're guilty. I'm so thankful that Your blood covers my sin, that I am forgiven. And Lord, even when I say I'm guilty, I just start to hear the voice of God saying, in what? I don't remember your sin. Oh, I'm so thankful You don't remember my past. You don't remember it and You don't hold it against me. So God, we just thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your forgiveness. But God, I know, Lord, You wouldn't put this scripture in there if there wasn't a personal responsibility. If You're not challenging us to live more godly than we've ever lived, to possess our vessel in holiness, in sanctification. So God, I don't want to walk and say, well, I'm forgiven. I want to walk in purity. I want to walk like You walked. I want to be like You. I want the image of Christ to shine greatly in my life. So God, forgive me for the past, but give me the strength and the power. Energize me to live holy in Your sight. In the precious name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, got another prayer in you, brother. Did I mention 6:30? Okay.